The Grind.
It's The Grind
with Nathan McCray.
There's just no way you can get enough of me. Yo, mister.
Giving real insight needed daily. Call 657-383-1291. That's 657-383-1291. It's blogtalkradio.com, The Grind 101. Join your host, Nathan McCray, 8 a.m. Eastern, every Tuesday through Thursday, for an unscripted conversation. It's The Grind, 657-383-1291.
Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on, get your bounce on, get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it, you gotta get, come on. Fifth one, fourth one. Come on, sing it.
Yeah, that's all that I was.
don't want to hear some horns.
All right, no matter what happens, ladies and gentlemen, if you believe you're going to have a brighter day, then guess what? You're going to have a brighter day. No matter what happens, you wake up every single morning, you open your eyes, give God some glory. Tell him, thank you for opening my eyes this morning, Lord. No matter what my issues are, no matter what my problems are, no matter what I did yesterday or what I didn't do yesterday or dreading what I got to do today, guess what? He opens your eyes to see yet another day, so that you can continue work. So that means there must be something left for you to do on this earth, man. And that by itself is enough to give God some praise. So, guys, welcome to The Grind this morning. You know, the unscripted show, the realest show ever. Man, I'm going to tell you what. One of the things that I love doing on every Tuesday and Thursday morning is jumping on this show and sharing what God lays on my heart and just being real about it. You know, there's no scripts on this show, and I love, you know, being able to share exactly what, you know, is on my heart tastefully and more importantly, helping to bridge some gaps for somebody that may be needing what's being heard on The Grind, you know, every Tuesday and Thursday. If it's not for you, then it's not for you. I always say if the shoe fits, put it on, try it on. If it don't fit, take it off. All right? Take it off. But you know what? Tell somebody right now to dial into The Grind, 657-383-1291, 657-383-1291. And if you're on your PC and your flip phone may not be working, go ahead and log in from your PC to grind.com, blogtalkradio.com/thegrind101. And you'll be able to listen live from your laptop, your desktop, whatever you have, your smartphone, whatever you want to do. By all means, tell somebody to dial into The Grind this morning, because I can promise you they will definitely be blessed by something that's said on this show. So guys, another edition of The Grind. I have an amazing guest on the line right now waiting, and I'm going to unleash him here in just a moment because he's just that powerful, you know, and I wanted to really hit you guys hard on this early Tuesday morning because I believe we're all in that phase in our life, and I most definitely know that this world is in that phase where we got to understand truth and legacy, and we got to understand how it impacts our lives, and we got to understand how we can move forward in order to be that dynamic person that we're being called to be. You know, we always talk about mediocrity. We always talk about being average. We always talking about doing something, you know, above and beyond. And there are some people in life that just want to sit there and do nothing. And you know what? If that's your prerogative, then that's your prerogative. But remember what I just said earlier. If God allows you to open your eyes to see another day, then that means you still have purpose on this earth. So figure out what that purpose is and dive into it, and I promise you through that purpose, you're going to start to understand what your fulfillment is going to be in life. And God, and I promise you, your eyes will be open, and you'll start to have that true brighter day that Mr. Kirk Franklin was just talking about. So, you know, ladies and gentlemen, truth and legacy, it's amazing because, you know, the gentleman that I have on the line this morning, is somebody that's very, very near and dear to my heart. A lot of blood, sweat, and tears we've shed together. Happens to be my best friend, Bishop Jeffrey E. Battle Sr. You know, you guys always, you know, hear me talking about, you know, a lot of very, I won't say controversial things, but a lot of very truthful things, things that either are happening or things that need to happen, or just the unscripted realness of life. And, you know, a lot of those conversations respond from conversations that I have from this gentleman. And we always talk about iron sharpening iron, you know, over and over and over again. And when you talk about, you know, truth and legacy, truth is definitely something that I've embraced, you know, wholeheartedly. And sometimes you want everybody around you, you know, to be able to embrace that truth. But the reality is, you know, not everybody's ready to embrace truth yet, you know, because truth is that thing that scares people the most. It really does. You know, it liberates. It definitely liberates us, but it does not tolerate the compromise. You know, it's not really the truth that scares the people most, though. It really isn't. It's the action that truth calls for. That truth is going to always call for an action. But your legacy will be built, ladies and gentlemen, on more than just the money you leave behind. So you have to ask yourself, will your legacy be founded and perpetuated by the truth of who you are or who you were and what you stood for, or the lie of what you fell for and tolerated? I want to say that again. Will your legacy be founded and perpetuated by the truth of who you were and what you stood for, or the lie of what you fell for and tolerated? You see, I'm at the point in my life, guys, where, you know, I've been here for quite some time now, and it can be a very lonely moment. Some of you on the line, you can attest to that. You know, when you see things, you know, things you see things differently. And we always say, once you change the way you look at things, the things that you look at change. And when we start seeing different things differently, you know, being in a state of mind to where you don't judge people every day, you just notice what people do every day. And I've always said, you know, there's those questions that I ask myself, you know, when I see something that I know may not be the best thing for me, I try really, really hard not to judge it, because I ask myself those questions. Can I affect change in it? If I cannot affect change, if that answer is no, or if it's yes, then I try my best to affect change in a very democratic, non-intrusive way. But if I cannot affect change, I simply ask the question, how high do I need to rise above it so that I don't get pulled down in it? So change is one of those things that's connected to truth, and that's why people aren't as keen on changing these days. But when I talk about, you know, this gentleman here, you know, two words come to mind. And I talk about, and this is a whole nother topic that I want to get in later, but it's, you know, separation and association. When you start to see things differently, then of course the things you see start to change. So that separation is going to allow you seeing things differently allows that separation. And now you can't just separate yourself and be alone. You have to separate yourself and then associate. So separation and association go hand in hand. So once you separate yourself, who are you associating with? It needs to be someone or some people that are sharpening you, and you have to be able to sharpen them. And you know, this next gentleman that I'm going to bring to the line, you know, he's the epitome of who really sharpens me. I have amazing conversations, you know, with my wife, Ms. Pam McCray, you know, constantly. I have the benefit of being around her, you know, 24 hours a day pretty much, you know, and this gentleman, you know, I also get the opportunity to talk to, you know, we've been friends for quite some time. And so it's iron sharpens iron, guys, and your legacy, you know, as he'll let you guys know here in a moment, is directly attached to who you are and who you will become before you leave this earth. All right, guys, you know, we all want to make the person that we are now or the person that we were in the past invisible to the world and let them just see the person that we are now. When you leave your legacy, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be who you were. And you want people to be able to remember you. So legacy is more than just how much money you leave, right? It's more than just how much money you leave to your loved ones and, you know, what's in your will, you know. I want people to remember me, and I want people to say, you know what, that guy made a difference. You know, that guy always did this or he always did that, and I want to be remembered in a great light. And I also want to leave, you know, a buttload of money as well. So we all want to leave that money. We all want to leave, you know, a legacy for our children and for them to be, you know, for their parents to be remembered by and the friends and loved ones to remember them by. So, you know, guys, I'm gonna go ahead and bring this gentleman to the line. I wanna introduce him properly because, you know, I won't tell his whole story, but he's been through, you know, a lot. This gentleman, you know, is a multimillionaire. He's been, you know, in several different industries. He's had success. He's lost it. He's gained it again. He's that person that is the epitome of humility. So he knows what it feels like, you know, to have, you know, anything that he wants when he wants it, you know, to have the, you know, the 6,000-8,000 square foot home and, you know, with 4 or 5 cars in the garage and have as much money as he can spend, you know, and be able to say, you know what, money is not an issue for me, you know, but he understands that, you know what, it's not all about the money. He's on a totally different journey, you know, in life. You know, and this gentleman happens to be, as I said, you know, my best friend. It's the one that I spent, you know, a lot of time talking to. And he happens to also be, you know, a published author. You know, he just came out with his brand new book, you know, Church and Compromise. And I tell you what, if you don't have this book, if he doesn't tell you how to get it by the end of this show, I'm going to tell you how to go out and grab it. To make sure that you get this in your library, and you need to put hands on it, and you need to be able to see, touch, and feel this thing so you can read it. I'm honored to say that I was able to purchase the first 2 or 3 copies, you know, when it hit Amazon. So, you know, I told him, I got to make sure I want to get the first two copies. I want those. I want the hardcover and I want the paperback cover. So he said, as soon as I launch it on Amazon, I'm going to let you know. And he did. And I went out and got them. So super excited about that. So guys, I want to go ahead and see if I can bring my special guest to the line. Let me get over here so I can get him all hooked up here. And as I said, ladies and gentlemen, this is Bishop Jeffrey E. Battle Sr. I want to bring him to the line because I want him to share with you guys exactly what's in his heart today. Bishop Battle, are you on the line? Are you live on the ground with us this morning?
I am here, sir. Can you hear me okay?
Man, I can hear you loud and clear, sir. I tell you, let me say, you know, you already know that this is the realest show ever, unscripted conversation. You know, I already took your gloves off. All right, I took your gloves off.
Yes, sir.
All right, so you don't have to just, you know, punch in the air today. All right, throw some real punches today. You know, we want to really know the unadulterated truth about, you know, your new book and what's going on in your life and the truth and legacy of what's happening. So, Bishop Battle, say hello to the grind.
Hello, grind. How is everybody? I hope everybody is doing outstanding today as I am. And I feel privileged and honored to be here today, and thank you for having me. One of the things that, you know, like I said, I appreciate all the great things that you said in reference to me bringing me on, but just want to take a moment to let those know that, you know, I know you don't allow everybody to be but so close to you, but, you know, I want to be able to share a little insight on who you are, you know, and who you've been to me, you know, and it's a thing that you don't call everybody your best friend, but one of the reasons I like people to understand what makes him different than any other friend you have and what you've always brought to the table is one thing is a character that's, you know, that cannot be questioned. And one of the things is we're different things in life from, you know, our family. You can be a husband, a father, you know, a brother, a son, whatever it is. And that's one of the things that you really epitomize is being the same and consistent at the whole man, mind, body, and spirit. And the thing that proves that is the consistency. So I just want to thank you for being who you are, being consistently who you are, and being true to who you are. So God bless you, and thank you again for this opportunity to come on. Real briefly, to get through to this, you know, to get started, you know, my book, Church in Compromise, and it talks about what's really going on. It's from the perspective that that's the state that I find what we call the Christian church today. My book is wrote in the perspective of three views. It's God's view. It talks about how he sees it. It talks about God's anger about how he sees it. But then it ends with his grace, you know, because that's who he is. And so, but all of these views are based on his scripture, the word. It's all scriptural based. It's not a book of full of my opinion or what I think or how I personally feel. It's all, and be able to be the unadulterated truth that the word says. A lot of times, Nate, I'm asked about, you know, where did this come from? Where did it get birth? And I'll share briefly, you know, I came into church and I came straight out of the world. And, man, I tell anybody, when I came to the church before my first time going into this service, I was raised in the church. But as an adult, I'd never joined the church. And, man, right up until the day I went and joined, I think I cursed more than anybody else. You know, hung out more than anybody else. But there was, I knew when I went, there would be a true change. The reality is, after I got in and got changed, I went somewhere that, and I saw something I wanted. I wanted that way of life. I wanted to have a relationship with God the way that the pastor did. I wanted those, and the other people that seemed to be really into him, their life seemed to be so much different than mine, and it's something I desired. And, you know, I find out something about that, Nate. When you see something that somebody else have, you desire, we subject ourselves sometimes to listening to whatever that person says that appears to have what we want. But, see, we don't know to what extent they have it. We act off the appearance of what they have. And so we start desiring the appearance that they're giving us to say, that's what I want. I mean, even in some of the business ventures that you've done, and people have come in, and you know, I was gracious enough to be able to and blessed enough to sit in one of the presentations that you did, you know, with one of the businesses that you do. And amazing, I sat there and I listened to how amazing it was. And everybody that was presenting had accomplished a certain goal. And the fact that they accomplished it, then I saw even in that from when I came to church, if you're not mindful enough, you'll be able to, you'll fall prey to saying, because they say they have this and because they've achieved this point, I whatever they say, I'm gonna eat it up. I want to be there and I'm going to follow suit. And what happens is that's how religion works to a degree, because when we get religious, we seem to throw our mind away in a box somewhere and start being controlled. And that's where I found myself. Whatever pastor said is what I did. You know, whatever he needed me to be, I needed to be there. So my goal became, you know, you got to make sure that you keep the man of God happy. Keep him content. Do what he says and make sure that he has everything he needs. And in this relationship, it allowed me to become closer to the pastor that I traveled with him, and wherever we went, you know, he looked at my military background, so I want you to be my security and go with me. And in this, all the time, I'm thinking that I'm trying to learn these things for myself, trying to build my relationship with God myself. But all the time, I didn't know this was ordained by God, because there's some things he wanted me to see. And I was able to go behind the veil, if you will, to see what really goes on. And the more I saw, the more confused I became, because now I'm seeing that the words that's preached is not consistent with what's happening back here. You know, we say that God is moving and he's doing these things, but I sit in a room with renowned pastors sitting here getting ready for major conferences, deciding who's going to preach, who actually on which day. I want you to preach on Friday because that's payday, and, man, he can get the people to give. And I sat and witnessed these things and just thought, well, wow, this is pretty strange. And but then when you sit in the services I was sitting in on Sundays, it was a different story, that there are things we needed to do to get closer to God. But he always kept a quandary in my mind. And as I continued to grow, I became a minister in the church. And, you know, I would sit there. And so what I would do is I heard the things that pastor them preached. So I, you know, would go find scripture and kind of pull from some of the things they said and preach it from their perspective, what I learned from the preacher. And then I find myself, Nate, been in church for 15 years, 20 years, and realistically I came to a conclusion one day that, hey, I really don't have a relationship with God. My relationship is with the leadership, because as long as they don't know what I'm doing, I felt I was safe. Even when I want to, you know, stray away from what I feel is right sometimes, well, as long as pastor don't know, I'm good. You know? So I find myself in that situation, man. And so, as you know the story, man, I, you know, one of the things that I was taught, you know, was about my tithing, making sure whatever you do, you know, they took me to, you know, Malachi 3 and say, you know, you will a man rob God? You got to give. If you don't, if you give, you're blessed. And if you don't tithe, you're going to be cursed with a curse. And as you know, we were working a multi-million-dollar business, making money. I was tithing $6,000-$7,000 a month into the church, and things were going well. And all of a sudden, it came to a screeching halt. Everything was over in a matter of a week, as you know, and then things went back. You know, that large house I lived in, you know, I started to figure out how I'm going to continue to pay for it. So I had a garage full of cars, so I'd take a different car to CarMax and live off that for a while, take another one to CarMax, live off it for a while, until all of that was depleted. And then I found myself at the house I couldn't maintain no more. I went from living in a 7,000 square foot home to living in a 1,500 square foot apartment. And while I was in that apartment, it still has to be paid for. But what happened was, Nate, I find myself here and I'm like, man, I hate to do this, you know, because I built up a certain mindset. I was making my own money. I was the one helping people. Nobody, I didn't need anybody's help, you know, financially. I was financially set. Lord allowed every penny I had to go out of the door. Then I walked up in the church and I asked, I said, you know what, I got to pay this electric bill and I need to get something in this house to eat. So I went to the church and Nate, I asked for $250. And when the pastor said they couldn't help me, I went home and laid on the floor. Ceiling fan was turning. I'll never forget it. And it stopped turning all of a sudden. It just shut my power off. And so I sat there, man, and instead of I was on my back, and I'm like, I don't know what else to do. And I found myself, I'm like, God, what would you have me do? What? Why am I going through this? And he set me up, and I picked up my Bible, and I went to Malachi. And once I read Malachi, because I kept saying, Lord, I was tithing consistently. I was doing what you said. I read Malachi 3 again, and he spoke to me, Nate, and he says, God says, well, who told you that this was what you needed to do? And, you know, in my mind, I said, well, that's what the scripture says. And pastor said the scripture says, and I just read it. And he said, okay, he said, but the reality is, he said, turn back to chapter 2 and read the first verse. And when I turned back to chapter 2, the first verse, it says, I'm talking to you, Levite priest. God, start dealing with me. I'm going to give you the truth. And from that point on, I start going back through everything I was taught. I wanted to find it out for myself. And as you, if you read the book, you'll see things that I find that we're all told on a regular basis that is contrary. And again, it's not Jeff Battle's perspective. It's scripture. And so after I came out of that perspective, man, God just started getting me ready to see more and more his way. Things started changing. And I got to this place, man, where I started to really understand that, you know, I just can't listen to this. You know, even when I was preaching, you know, the congregation that I had in the church, I had to go back and apologize for teaching them some of the things I taught them, because it wasn't what the scripture says. It's what I was told, not what I learned from the scriptures. So we get to this point where we're in the book now, and what happens is some
so
of the things I learned
so
from
Bishop,
that.
I want
yes,
you,
sir.
So Bishop, I want you to back up a little bit, because I want everybody listening to really get that last piece, because you know we've had some pretty extensive conversations, and let me let everybody know what I love most about Bishop Battle's book is not, you know, the truth that's in it. It's the truth that's backed up by scriptures. Everything in this book has scriptures to it. It's not just a book that he wrote based on what he thinks, all right, because anybody can do that, all right? But it's a book based on what God has shown him through scripture. And the foundation of everything in this book is based on scripture, and it's right there for you to go back and look at. But I want you to back up a little bit, Jeff, if you will, and I want to really touch on the tithing piece, because we understand, because I know people are like, well, am I not supposed to tithe? Am I not supposed to give this? Because I think a lot of people are very confused about how they're supposed to give and the premise that it was founded on.
Yes.
Okay, so can you shed a little more light on just that piece for me?
Yeah, and one of the things I talk about in the book about it, by no means am I saying that no one should give to the church. We really should give to the church, because it takes money for the church to operate. But the problem has been is we can't give to our personal detriment, that our house stays so out of order that we have to go without things that we need daily, like paying our bills and doing what we have to do. We have to be able to be a steward good enough to the point where we have extra to give, that we are able. But see, what happens is I've witnessed pastors telling us, you know, you need to give and show God your commitment. Make a sacrificial offering. When Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. After him, there is no sacrificial offerings anymore. You know, he wasn't. If we got to give a sacrificial offering, then that's saying he didn't pay the price. But he paid the price in full. So what we do is we're able to give support to the ministry, you know, and we can't give. The Bible said never to give out of necessity. We're told to give to God when we need something from him. And that's where we are giving so much. It's good to give, but to give in the right way. We have to give from a perspective of understanding. The Bible tells us, in all you're getting, get understanding. So we need to understand why we do what we do. And that's the thing. But we weren't mandated individually by the scripture that's being used in Malachi that we're supposed to give 10% regardless of what our situation is. If you can afford to give 10% of what you have, then by all means, bless the ministry. It has to go on. But you don't give to your detriment of your household. You know, the Bible says let your house has to be in order before you can attend the affairs of the church. And that's where that's that giving piece where it's manipulated to that point. And the manipulation is the part where God has allowed me to be able to open and give truth to what he's requesting and requiring of us. So I hope that answers your question, sir.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it is the epitome, you know, of and this and guys, this is just one of the sections, you know, in Bishop Battle's book, because, you know, the entire book is such an eye opener, you know, to a point to where, you know, it's the book is done so gracefully to a point to where that it's going to shed a lot of light on things that you thought were a certain way. And it's going to give you an entirely different perspective on how you really need to function and what you really need to do to get closer to God, because the power that you have, the power that your pastor has, the power that the prophet, the evangelist, the power that they have is the same power that is there for you. It's available for you. You just got to know how to tap into it. By any means, well, you know, what Bishop Battle is saying, he's not trying to say that, you know, the fivefold ministry isn't real, because it is very real, okay? But you need to understand how you fit into that, okay? And not just be the person that goes in a trance every Sunday and just sits there and listen and never really, really understands and gets that personal relationship for yourself. You know, so Bishop Battle, you know, I'm looking at you know, I'm looking at your book and there's so many great there's so many great things in the book, and I see the cover, man. The cover is really says so much. You know, Church in Compromise is the title itself is profound, but it talks about, you know, impurity. You know, it talks about sexual immorality, you know, idolatry, discord, you know, jealousy. I mean, it has all of these different things that are unraveling the church right now. And you know, my dad said something to me, Jeff, that blew my mind. Now, my dad I was raised Baptist, okay, primitive Baptist, per se. So we washed feet. We did the whole nine, all right? So my dad, you know, I was home, you know, recently. He said, you know, we were talking, and he said, yeah, he said, you know, because he had a bad experience with this church after being there for 15, 20 years. You know, it was just, you know, they wanted to get into the new age era of church. So they wanted to try to push all of the old heads out that were trying to keep the tradition in place and things of that nature. So he started to, you know, God really started to open his eyes and not just, you know, haphazardly read the scriptures, but see where you fit in to the scriptures and how you can affect the change that you need to affect. And as he started to read, he started to understand that this wasn't the right place for me to be in. And you know, we said something about church, and he said, yeah, he said, church is really becoming a business. And he said, he says, you know, I thought about it one time opening me up one of those things. You know, and he started to laugh, and it's just an ongoing joke. And you know, the church itself is not just is not a church building. The church building doesn't become the church building until the church arrives, right? So the church is each person. The church is the people. So when you leave that building, the power leaves that building with you. But when you really understand what's going on with when you really start reading your book and understanding, you know, that the book isn't trying to unravel you as the person, but the book is really trying to enlighten you so that you can function better and have the real relationship with God, instead of that I'm going to go and do what I want to do throughout the week and then go and be okay on Sunday type relationship. All right, so it's going to call you to be the person that you really should be. All right, and it's not as critical as people really think it is. But you know, when in your book, I want you to bring out just one more section, you know, if you would. We got about 20 more minutes, and I want you to bring out one more section in your book, and talk about, you know, something that really is laying heavy on your heart. And I know it's so many things, so I don't want to pinpoint one thing. I know what me and you talk about continuously, but, you know, bring out another section of your book, if you would.
Well, yeah, I mean, you deal with deceit and deceiving, chapter 2. One thing about that was the biggest part that stuck out in my mind, because, you know, we take things and we come to church and we find it's supposed to be a safe haven. It's supposed to be a place where we can really get restored and replenished and poured into, and should be able to drop our guard, you know, be able to come and just really, you know, just be safe. And what's happening is we're going there finding out that when you see the deceit and the deceiving that takes place in the church, it does something to you. It lets you know. But the thing that you need to understand is that's why it's so vital. This is why a part of writing this book is vital, that you build that relationship with God first and foremost, instead of trying so hard to build it with your church leaders and your local ministry. Because like you just said, you know, the Bible tells us clearly, you are the church. The Bible says you're God's dwelling place. You're where he lives on the inside of. So when you become the church and when you understand that's how who you are and how you are, then you're not so subject to take your whole spiritual relationship and sign power of attorney over to some pastor or some church leader to tell you everything you're supposed to do. You got to check with pastor for if I'm going to buy a house or a car, if we're going to buy new furniture, can we really afford it? Let's talk to pastor. We have to understand that by being the church, You have to be the priest of your own home. You have to take responsibility of that relationship with God. And so the amazing piece about it, Nate, we go into church with that perspective that everything is going to be good and everything's going to be all right. Mm-hmm. But the scriptures tell us very clearly, it says that false prophets are coming and they mm-hmm. will deceive you. Even the very elect of God will be fooled if possible. So that tells me right now, I got to go in here and make sure that I'm paying attention. I have a responsibility now. Mm-hmm. And what happens is we forfeit that responsibility by saying, I'm showing up, I'm giving money, I'm good. Whatever I do, I'm forgiven, and all is well. Because now that's paying so that I don't have to have responsibility. But we don't be able, we're not able to forfeit that. We're held with being responsible. And so what happens is we're going to be responsible. The only way to forego being deceived is to build that personal relationship with God. Get in that word for yourself. See what God is saying. Because when somebody comes to you and says, I got a word from God for you, it should be a word of confirmation, not a word of revelation. Because God should have already, you should already feel that. It should identify with what's already on the inside of you. And so many people use that phrase to get their own personal feelings over to you. Well, God told me to say this to you. God says saying that to you. No, they're saying that to you. Because if God wanted to tell you, he'd be allowing you to have a conviction in your spirit or feel something in reference to it that you will already know what he desires for you. And so that's that part of being deceitful or deceived in this thing. And what happens is in the deceiving, you know, Nate, the gifts that we bring within ourselves, the talents that we bring to the ministry, what happens is when we are subservient to the leader and not just subservient to God, what you do is you allow that leader to control not just you, but your gifts and talents and whatever else that you have that you bring to the table, your finances. He controls everything, and we give that power over without understanding, but thinking we're doing this unto God. And one of the most deceiving statements that I think back to hearing in ministry is when they tell you that you need to come up and give to God. God wants you to dig deep and give. Well, if we're serving a God that's omniscient, a God that's omnipotent, a God that you use words like he's ubiquitous, you can't even measure how big and powerful he is. He owns everything. But he needs some money from me. He's telling me I need to give some money. He's the one that gave me this money in the first place. We don't think it through. We feel because we're subservient to leadership, we throw our brain out the door and become subject to everything that we do. But one thing about that understanding, Nate, is that when we feel that way, it trickles down to the rest of our life. It goes not just from the church. Now when we go out here, we keep finding people to allow to have authority over us in whatever we do, if it's our work or whatever it is we're doing, we allow it. But what happens is our responsibility is make sure whoever you're giving authority over your life is bearing fruit in the whole man. And I mean by that is mind, body, and spirit. Every aspect of them are together. Just because you have pragma, material wealth, don't mean I should listen to everything you say and do everything you want me to do, because the rest of your life is a garbage mess. See, I don't pay attention to that. I get focused on that one thing that you have. And so the fact that I make that important, then you make it important, and you build yourself up over me, and now I'm subservient unto you, when reality is I'm literally more together than you are. You need to listen to me. That's when we're starting to come out of that thing. You know what I'm saying? So that's the perspective. That section there, man, and we got to get out of being deceived and becoming subservient and putting ourselves under different jurisdictions just because of what people say to us or the appearance they come to us with. Because if you look hard enough, you'll see. Because I don't think when we look at ourselves as vessels, I don't think any vessel walks around here as a human being without flaws.
So we got to stop letting people present themselves if they're flawless because they've been able to achieve certain things. Well, they're supposed to achieve certain things that you didn't. That's why God made us all originals. That's why nobody has your fingerprint but you. You're not supposed to be a copy. You're supposed to be an original. And it's not those material things or anything else that make you who you are. It's the character. And the leaving behind, that's that when we say we're supposed to leave an inheritance behind, what greater inheritance to leave behind than a great character that say I was a complete person. I was together mind, body, and spirit. And so now I want you to be able to duplicate that in your own life. Find yourself in that own that statement. Yes, sir.
Wow. Man. Powerful. I'm sitting here like, you can walk into it eyes wide shut or eyes wide open, you know, and that's a lot of people that choose to walk into it eyes wide shut. And they think, okay, I'm good. And I love the statement you made, you know, I'm paying not to have responsibility. You know, if you are the person, you know, walk into a ministry, into the church building and you've been a good steward. You've got, you know, your affairs are in place and you're saying, you know what, I want to give this to the ministry. Give. Okay. But don't give in expectation of something. God, if I do this for you, you're going to do this for me. He already owns it all. So why are you giving it back to him if he just gave it to you in expectation for something? Never give out of necessity. Give with the right heart. Okay. So I love that, you know, we're paying not to have responsibility. So that means we can go and raise hell 6 days a week. Okay. And now I'm going to come in and I'm going to pay my tithe and everything going to be all right. I'm good. I can go out here and raise hell 6 more days. And we have to understand that it's about the care. Yeah. Responsibility. Go ahead, Bishop.
No, I was just going to say to you, that very thing that you just explained, we all heard the story of Job. And in the story of Job, this is where, you know, they said all the angels and God, they were in the throne room, and so was Satan. And the very accusation Satan gave to God was, your people only serve you because of what you do for them. And that was the accusation from way back then. That's how Job became a prover that, no, he's going to serve me and love me no matter what. If I take everything he got, he's still going to serve me, and he's not going to curse me. And so that's what we are supposed to do when we consider and label ourselves Christians. We got to get to that place where we got to be a prover and ask ourselves, why am I really doing this church thing? Why am I really serving God? Do I really have a love for God, or am I saying it through a cliche? You know, that's just what I do. But the reality is we've learned to measure our relationship and God's goodness by what we materially have. And that's where the mistake comes in at. And then, like you just said, you know, you continue to give and do what you have to do for God, but let it be, you know, truly says the Bible said, never give grudgingly, you know, from that perspective that this is, you can't pay God. You know, that's something that you can't do. And that's something that we need to understand. But I just wanted to say that piece, man, because that's the accusation from way back in the Old Testament. That's how we are as Christians. And we got to prove them to be wrong.
I love that. You can't pay God. I love that.
No.
You can't put him on payroll. that's good. That's good. I like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things we bring out, you know, is really and truly when we look at what we do every single day, you know, are we really doing what we do in the eyes of God? And you said something earlier, you know, we're doing what we do, you know, and we just don't want pastor to see us. Or are we doing what we do because we don't want the omnipresent, the omniscient one? We don't want the one that sees everything, no matter where you are and what you're doing. He sees it, but we don't want the man to see it. And I believe it's what we understand that you know, pastor is a part of a fivefold ministry, and we're definitely not you know on this show pastor bashing. All right, it's a necessity. All right, but when we look at what happens, you know, in the quote unquote church. You've got the pastor, and what we do is people will tend to raise the pastor on such a pedestal that now what we're worshiping is, as you said earlier, we're not worshiping the God in the pastor. We're worshiping the man, because we're placing more emphasis on what pastor thinks as opposed to what God thinks and sees. And when we don't understand
exactly
that, we've got that same ability to go and get that power and that relationship with God. And in order to have that, we got to understand that it's there to be for us to have. And should you esteem your pastor? Should you esteem the evangelist, the prophet? Absolutely. But you have to allow that person to give you something to esteem, something to respect.
Yeah.
You have to see it. The God has to be in that person, and you have to know. You know, it's either, you know, when you hear the saying that says, you know, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And I made a statement earlier. It said, will your legacy be founded and perpetuated by the truth of who you were and what you stood for, or the lie that you fell for and tolerated? And see, as I said, it's not the truth. It's not the truth that really scares people. It's not that truth. What happens is it's the action that the truth is requiring. And a lot of people aren't ready to unplug from even just an aspect of something that they're doing for fear that it's going to rub someone the wrong way. When you're operating in the spirit of truth, no fear. Honestly, Jeff, you don't care what other people feel about you. You just don't. It's of no importance to you.
Yeah,
when you know you're operating in what you. There you go. I like that. You're deliberate from people. I mean, it's an amazing. It's very liberating when you understand, you know, what God really requires of you. And this book is just so amazing, you know, that it covers every aspect of what we go through, you know, in the quote unquote church, and it's done so eloquently. You know, I want all you guys to go out and grab this book. It is now, you know, on Amazon. You can get the hardback or you can get the paperback. I think the price is now at like what, $13.93, I think, Jeff. I'm looking at it now.
Yeah,
$13.95 for the paperback copy. So I mean, this book is definitely one that you need to have in your library, and you need to read it, because I believe this book is the foundation of every other thing that we do, you know, in life, because it's chock full of scripture. And I tell you, I'm in love with everything about it. And, you know, and I thank you, my brother, for giving me an acknowledgement, you know, in the book, you know, as well. And, you know, I feel like I helped write this book. I feel like.
Yeah, you did. You did.
You know, we've had a lot of conversations, a lot of, you know, I mean, I'm talking hours of conversation on the phone. And you know when you've got that person in your life, or, you know, a group of people in your life, when you can sit down and you can have, you know, conversations, then you don't even pay attention to the time. And they're not just frivolous conversations. We have our fair share of laughs. You know, we're real people. But when God, you know, shows up and he really wants to pour into you, there's many ways that God can really pour into you. And, you know, in any event, your life should really be a living epistle of how God is pouring into you, your resolve not to compromise, your resolve to keep your integrity intact, you know, not to be that person that cares what other people think or just to be popular, but you do the thing that's right and you practice the principles in life for the things that you want, and there are no shortcuts. And if you start to understand these things, you start to create the person that God intended you to be, because as we're born into this sinful world, we tend to take on shape of some things that are not what God. It's like an abscess. We walk around with all of these abscesses, or these things that have these attachments that have been attached to us that we now need to figure out how to detach and how to allow the true man, the whole man, to be to really shine forth and figure out exactly, and so people can see exactly who we really are. Take the mask off, if you will. Start being the person that you're being prompted to be. As I say, I love the premise of this show. It's unscripted conversation, but it's real conversation, and you don't have to put on airs, you know, on this show, and people need to know who you really, really are. And a lot of people just it's a foreign feeling to people, Jeff. It really is. So
yeah,
you know, we're gonna get ready to close out, Bishop, but I want you to, you know, go ahead and you know, close out for us really quick, and just I wanted to give you the last words.
Okay, and one of the things I just want to definitely make clear as I, you know, we close here is that, you know, and I want to make sure I'm tithing, because that's a real major subject with people. And I'll just say one, the revelation God gave me personally about tithing, I look at it as a principle. It's an awesome principle. And if you think about who the church is, and when we're the church, and you know what your storehouse is, should be your savings account, if anything else. If you take that principle and you take 10% of everything that touch your hand and you put it in that savings account and you teach that to your children, do the same thing as they get old enough to work, we all going to put it in that same storehouse. And what you do is that principle will build you an infrastructure for your family that you won't need the bank. You won't need to have to go out and borrow anything. And that's that legacy, mm-hmm. and that inheritance you can pass down throughout your generation and have that concept. It's an amazing concept if we apply it the right way and not let it be deceived to us. So I say that about that part, man. And again, you know, like you said, I'd love everybody to get a chance to get the book. It's on Amazon. It's on, you can get it from Barnes and Nobles and Book of Millions, and it's on iTunes. It has the Kindle version is out there as well for $9. So if you get a chance to read it, it'll be a blessing. I'm sure it'll bless you. And those that's in Atlanta, if you're interested in coming, reach out to Nathan to give your name, because we're having a book signing this Saturday at 4:00 in Atlanta. So if you're interested, we'll get an invite out to you. Just let them know. We have to have your name to get you into through the security gate where it's going to be at. So we just invite everybody to come out for that as well. So thank you for the opportunity, Nate.
Awesome, awesome. And it's not just a book, not even just as a, it's a, this is what I like about it. It's a book signing and discussion. And,
exactly.
And I love it. That's different. So guys, if you want to, actually, I'll be in Atlanta on the 24th, Saturday the 24th, attending the book signing and discussion. Bishop Battle, if you want to go, if you're in Atlanta, if you want to fly in, whatever the case may be, shoot me out a text message or an email or something. Or DM me, Nathan McCray 1 on Instagram, or inbox me. You know how to get in contact with me, and I can definitely get you. We'll get you the RSVP information out so you can attend that. And we're just, you know, what you just heard was just a touch on the book as a whole. There's so many different other facets in this book that you hear about during this book signing. So, Bishop Battle, man, I tell you what, it's an honor, man, as always having you on the show. You know, and I look forward to having the opportunity to break bread and with you again in the future, sir.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you to everyone who listens.
Absolutely. All right. All right. So everybody out there in Grindland, thank you for jumping on the grind this morning. You know, you could have been doing anything in the world, but you chose to chime in on the grind to hear about some amazing gap bridging information this morning. So thank you again, guys, and make today a great day. And the day is definitely, you know, everything is working in your season if you're grasping the truth and actually putting forth the action that the truth is going to require of you guys. Have a great day.
but I sure been faithful. See, God's got a purpose, yeah. And I know he's able. I've got to see in the ground that he's blessing, no more stressing. I've got to see in the ground. Now I'm knowing and it's showing.
Circumstance says it's already getting better.